Luke chapter 12 this morning. Would you stand, please, as we'll read together a few verses of Scripture. Luke chapter 12, and beginning in verse number 13. Listen to what the Bible said here. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. May I say just a word right here? Is that they tell me one of the major problems in homes is the fact of inheritance. That people, when people die, there's problems between families, brothers and sisters, saying that you got more and daddy loved you more, mother loved you more. There's a lot of problems in families. The major reason they have family breakups is over inheritances. Now this man here said this. He went to the Lord and he said, Lord, would you please speak to my brother? He's not dividing the inheritance as he should. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of the covetousness. Now watch verse number 15. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. You cannot put a price tag nor a dollar amount on a man's life. You can't look at a man today or a woman today and say you are a great wealthy person based upon the amount of dollars they have in a bank account. My friend, that's not what your life and my life is ought to be. Now notice there, and he went on to say about a parable about a man. He said in verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? This he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. May the Lord add his blessings. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day and for the graduates. Lord, thank you for allowing them to be a part of this service today. And I pray, Father, bless now. Help us to learn this morning, this rich man that had some problems and made some big mistakes in his life. And I pray, oh God, that we would learn that our life does not consist in the amount of money we have in our pockets. Bless, I pray. Touch hearts, save thou and lost. We'll thank in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. A newspaper in Kansas tried to correct an error that they had made in printing. There was a story ran about a wedding, and they ran something, and they misspelled, and they re-ran, and they said this, We wish to apologize for an error in the wedding story in last week's paper. Due to the typesetter's mistake, we said the roses were punk. What we intended to say was the noses were pink. You see, my friend, they tried to correct their error and yet only made it worse in the process. They tell me there was a janitor at the First Security Bank of Boise, Idaho, accidentally put a box of 8,000 checks worth $840,000 on a trash table. The following events occurred. The operator of the paper shredder came by, dumped all the contents into his machine, cutting them into quarter-inch shreds and dumping them in a garbage can outside the bank. The bank president said, I wanted to cry. I bet he wanted to do more than just cry. Most of those checks in that bag, my friend, had been cashed at the bank, and they were awaiting shipment off to a clearinghouse. their loss would have resulted in a bookkeeping nightmare because most of them were still unrecorded. The bankers could not know whom to which that had been paid for. So what was the answer? What could they do? Well, my friend, the only thing they could do, they went to the paper shredder and they got all the little pieces together and they began to reconstruct each and every one of those 8,000 checks. Could you imagine that? 50 employees worked in two shifts, 6 hours a day, inside six rooms, shifting, plucking, matching, and pasting checks all back together. My friend, don't you wonder what happened to that janitor and the person at the paper shredder? You might say, preacher, they made a big mistake. They certainly did. But my friend, all of us make mistakes in our life. My friend, there's not a one of you sitting here today that has not made some type of blunder, some type of mistake that has perhaps cost you time and money and effort. Can you remember over the course of your lifetime the dumbest thing you've ever done? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. But my friend, many of us do dumb things along life's journey. Sometimes we make awfully big mistakes, kind of like the fella who was riding down the road one day and he began to cough and he needed to spit. And so he turned to the side to spit out the window. And as he spit, he realized that the window was not rolled down. And he spit on the window. Now, thankfully, he wasn't chewing tobacco, amen. And you say, well, that's a bad mistake. But my friend, that's a dumb one, of course. If that was the worst thing that I'd ever done, then I'd take granted for that and say, hey, I'd just say, listen, I've done something worse than that, amen. But as we go down life's journey, we'll find that we'll make some mistakes. Sometimes those mistakes we can correct. Sometimes those mistakes are not so big after we correct them. But my friend, sometimes those mistakes cost us time and money and effort. Some years ago, General Motors made a very costly mistake. They had to recall 4.9 million vehicles because of a faulty carburetor and exhaust system. The postage just to send out the letter that warned people to bring their vehicle back in cost them more than $4 million in postage. People make big mistakes. Those young people sitting here this morning, I'm preaching not only to them, but also to the family. And I want you to hear about this man here. Notice in Luke chapter 12, there are three mistakes that he made. And I hope and pray you'll not make the same mistakes. Number one this morning, would you notice Luke chapter 12? The first mistake that this man made in planning for himself, he forgot his neighbor. The Bible said, notice in verse number 17 of Luke chapter number 12, this man looked out one day and saw he had a bumper crop. God had blessed him. I mean, the fruit was hanging. He had everything. It was all green. It was all coming in. And he had a problem. The Bible said here, as he looked out in verse 17, he thought, I believe he scratched his head. He said, I wonder what I'm going to do with this bumper crop. In other words, he was saying this. He said, I've got a great harvest. I've got more money than I know what to do with. My pockets are going to be so full, I don't know where to spend it. I've got to find some type of tax-sheltered annuity. I've got to find somewhere to put my money so that Uncle Sam doesn't get it all. Fred, may I say something? Here is this man that had a bumper crop, but the first mistake that he made was this. All he could think about was I, me, mine. Look what the Bible said in verse number 17. What shall I do? because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And friend, the first mistake that he made was this. He did not consider his neighbor on the other side. He did not look around and see who was less fortunate than he was. We sang this morning the song, I am blessed. Thank God we are blessed indeed. Amen. Listen, my friend, I'm preaching to folk this morning. I don't know where you'll eat dinner today, but I would grant it that you'll eat dinner somewhere. It might be at your house. You might have pinto beans and boiled potatoes. If you do, call me up. I'll be right over. Amen. You might have the finest of steak on your table. You might go to some restaurant somewhere and sit underneath the table. My friend, may I say something? Is that we are blessed indeed. I look around today, and those of you sitting here, you've got on some nice clothes. You say, preacher, my clothes didn't come from some fancy store. It doesn't matter. You still have clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, a roof over your head, and thank God most of you, I'd imagine, have running water. Would you say amen to that? Oh, but my friend, where you don't realize is that next Sunday we'll be down. Now listen, young folks, we will have some running water there. But now I'm going to tell you something right now. Where we'll stand at does not Fred, aren't we the same way sometime? We want to talk about what we got and what we got and what we own and how much money we make. Honey, it's time we quit looking at ourselves and look and say, God has blessed me, and God wants me to use what God has blessed me with to help somebody else out yonder. Hey, amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Now, friend, we think about ourselves most of the time. We think about our wants, our needs, or what we want to do, and we never consider anybody else who might be a little less fortunate. Oh, may I say to you this morning, Proverbs 11:24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than that is meet, but it's tended to poverty. Friend, it's time that we quit looking at what we've got and look upon what others may have in need of. Two fellers went in a restaurant one day, and both of them wanted to order fish. The waiter came over, and he looked at them, and he said, both of them said, we want off the fish plate. He said, well, men, we're just about run out, but I've got two pieces left. They said, that's fine, bring them on out here. And so when the waiter brought out the fish and placed them on the table, that was one large slab of flounder. I mean, son, it was just nice and big. But then there was another piece, and it was like one of them little baby flounders. Amen. And so he laid it on the table and walked his way. Well, one fella grabbed the plate, and all of a sudden he took the big piece of fish and put it on his plate, slid the other one over to his friend. He said, no, wait a minute. He said, what did you just do? He said, I took my piece of fish. He said, well, that you took the biggest piece. He said, I wouldn't have done that if I were you. He said, what would you have done if you were me? He said, well, I would have taken the small piece and given you the big piece. He said, that's exactly what I did. Amen. My friend, you see, sometimes we look at ourselves and we don't look at somebody else, and we don't say, what would I do for some? Listen, my friend, my goodness, we ought to look and say, God has blessed me, and God has met my need, and God has put shoes on my feet and clothes on my back. Let me help somebody else that needs a little help. Amen. And the first mistake that he made was this. In providing for himself, he didn't think about his neighbor. Number two, notice something else. In considering his own goods, he forgot the giver. Notice something. The Bible said in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. Now let me ask you something. I know some of you are good gardeners. Some of you got good. My grandmother, boy, I tell you what, she had out beside her house, she had what she called a root bed, a rooting corner. Friend, she could break off a piece of something and take it out of that root corner, stick it in the ground, and it would start rooting. She'd get that and transplant it and put it somebody. Bless her heart, one time somebody gave, and as she got older, she, you know, didn't remember things as well. But bless your heart, one day we walked out yonder and she had taken a plastic flower and stuck it in that little bed. Amen. Don't laugh too much, it started growing. No, I'm just kidding you. But she could grow something when nobody else could grow anything. And my friend, this man here, I mean, he had a bumper crop. But wait a minute, was it what he could do? Oh, I'm sure he probably tilled the ground. I'm sure probably he planted the seed. But God is the one that brought the rain down. And God is the one that brought the sunshine down. And God is the one that blessed him and the crop grew. Would you say amen to that? And in all that doing, he forgot the giver. Can I tell you something this morning? It is God that has blessed you and me. Amen. It is God that has given you a job. It is God that, and you say, well, preach, I'm not working right now. But thank God, he's still taking care of you. Amen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken their seed begging bread. My God in heaven will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It is God that has blessed us with the ability and the hands and the know-how. Oh, give credit to the one that gave it to us. God is the one in charge. Years ago, Dr. Harry A. Ironside, great man of God, walked into a restaurant and sat down. The restaurant was very crowded. As he was about to begin his meal, a man approached him. The place was full. And asked him, would you mind, sir, if I joined you and sat down at your booth? He said, no, of course, go ahead. The man sat down across from Dr. Harry A. Ironside, and all of a sudden they brought Dr. Ironside his meal. And as his custom was, Dr. Ironside bowed his head and began to pray. He didn't pray out loud, but he prayed silently. And then he looked up. The man looked at him and he said, let me ask you, do you have a headache? I said, no. He said, why? Why do you ask, sir? He said, well, I saw you dropped your head there. He said, well, I was asking the blessing. He said, oh, so you're one of those, are you? He said, what do you mean? He said, oh, he said, so you're one of those that ask the blessing. He said, I always thank God before I eat. He said, well, I got news for you. He said, I'm not one like that. He said, I earn my own money and the sweat on my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start diving in right away. Dr. Ironside said, oh, okay, I understand. He said, you see, you're just like my dog. He does the same thing. My friend, can I tell you something? James 1:17 said, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, to whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. All good things come from God the Father. All good things God has blessed you with, they come from him. They don't come from us. Thank God he is the one that has provided and met our needs, and we ought to glorify him for what he's done. Thank God this man, though he made a big mistake, he didn't thank the one that gave it to him. Someone said it this way, not only don't you count your blessings, not only count your blessings, but consider the source as well. The psalmist said, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. Hey, listen, when God saved you, that's wonderful enough as it is. But you know something? God's got some benefits along life's journey. Can I talk to you a second here? God has blessed you and multiplied you, given you a home, given you a shelter over your head, given you fire to warm yourself with in the wintertime, and perhaps some cool air in the summertime. He'll sit down and you'll have food under your table. You'll be able to drink some cold lemonade or some good old water. My friend, God has blessed you with all manifold blessings. Isn't it time that we start giving back to him that's given us everything to us?
Amen.
And all the time. everybody jump up and leave at one time. My friend, I believe this. If you love the Lord, you say you love the Lord, you'll give to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Number three, what's a big mistake that he made? Number one, in considering him own self, he didn't consider his neighbor. Number two, in considering all of his crops, he didn't consider the one that gave it to him. Then number three, in providing for his body, he forgot about his soul. Look at verse number 20. Well, look in verse 19. He said, my soul, thou hast much goods laid up. I've got them packed away. I've got them canned away. I've got a freezer full. I've got a bank full of money. I've got all kinds. Listen, I've got it made. I can sit back, take it easy. I don't have to worry about anything. And God said in verse 20, thou fool. Thou fool. Now, I want you to see something. Watch this one word here. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall require of thee. And I want everybody in here that's got a King James Version, I want you to read the next word with me. Real loud, out loud. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What's the next word? Then. Say it one more time. Then. Then. You may have put your shoes on this morning, but the funeral director may take them off tonight. Then. Then who shall these things be? Then who shall that money be? Then whose automobile will that be? Then whose house shall that be? You see, my friend, here's the thing of it. Every one of us is making a journey. My friend, we don't know when that journey's going to end. But we know for certain one of these days will be our last time in church. One of these days will be our last time we'll breathe God's air. One of these times will be the last time. But my friend, then who shall these things be? And this man here, he had no thought of eternity. He had not planned. He had prepared for this life. He had prepared for this world. But he did not prepare for the next life. And my friend, listen, it's important that you prepare. You don't know when you're going to breathe your last breath. James said, for what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. Your life is though if it's 50, 60, 70, 80, wherever you're at, it's only like a vapor. Here for a minute, gone. The Bible said, Job said, our life is like a weaver's shuttle. How many of you used to work in a mill? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. You about know, if you understand what I'm about to say, they tell me I never worked in a mill, but my family did. I had family members working in a mill, Edna Cotton Mill. And they listen, fixers and weavers and different folks. But they tell me that when the weaving machine is running, that it goes so fast you can barely even see as it moves. It's moving so fast. Is that not right? Help me out now. Job said this, our life is like a weaver's beam. It's moving so fast back and forth. It's just a blur. Here one day, gone the next. And beloved, this man here in Luke chapter number 12, he provided for his body. He said to his body, take eat. He said, I've got plenty laid up. I've got all that I need. And yet, my friend, he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I wonder how many of us today, if we knew that this might be the last church service, would we do anything different? How many of us today, if we knew that this would be the last month, how many of us would do something different? This man here, he said, I've got it all made. I've got it all set aside. I've got money in the bank. I've got everything I need. And he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. How about it today? One of the biggest mistakes a person can make is not trusting the Lord as their Savior. They think about the body. They enjoy the pleasures of this life. But then what? Then what? Then what? There was a man by the name of Arnold Dobson and another man by the name of Harold Most. Harold Most had a son, Harold Jr., out in the summer heat in the desert in Death Valley, deputies found their bodies 7 miles, 14 miles, and 17 miles from their abandoned car. The deputy said this, they were kind of strung out like in a line, and the heat had turned them black. You see, their car broke down. They got out of the car and they started to go for help. In leaving the car, the three had tragically headed in the wrong direction. Going toward a ranch house, they had passed 30 miles back, but just a mile in the opposite direction was a grove of willows and a spring of water. If they had gone in the other direction 1 mile, they could have lived, but instead they tried to make it back to the farmhouse they saw 30 miles in the distance. That's like a lot of folk today. My friend, the Bible says this, broad is the way that leads unto destruction, narrow is the way that leads into life everlasting. Have you ever noticed how many children are interested in the things of the Lord? How that kids enjoy, listen, they get up here and they sing. They come to Vacation Bible School. They enjoy coming to Sunday school. They enjoy coming to church. But as time goes on, our vision gets clouded. It gets distorted to the things of God. We all get excited about the things of this life, about making money, going places, doing things, playing, having fun, to the point that we lose sight and lose interest in the things of God, and we quit serving Him anymore. This was a man that God called a fool. When God looks at us today, what would He say to you? You're a wise son. Or would He say, thou fool? You've laid up a lot of things on this earth. You've got a nice, comfortable living. You have a wonderful wife. You have a wonderful car. You've got a great family. But one thing thou lackest, you're not saved. Would you buy